Are we on here?
Yeah.
Good, right. Thank you, Toby. Good evening, everyone. So just to introduce ourselves, sorry, I'm reading off a script, so there won't be a lot of eye contact. Just to introduce ourselves, for those who don't know us, I'm John Booker. Here is my wife, Cheryl. By my reckoning, we have been at EBC for nearly 5 years now. How the time has flown by. We've not been given much of a brief about what to say, so we're going to tell you how our year's been going. Now, a few of you already know this story. I'm conscious of that. So we take no offence if you decide to have a nap, do some knitting, play some cribbage or something like that for the next few minutes. So in the week between Christmas and the New Year last year, I decided to quit my job. I'd been working at the head office of a large DIY company with an orange logo based in Chandler's Ford that will otherwise remain nameless. Now, it was great that the job was within walking distance and I was earning reasonable money. But I'd come to the conclusion that I was completely useless at my job and that I'd be better off not working for the company, and that the company would certainly be better off without me working for them. So I thought to myself, you can do it, and decided to hand my notice in. Some of you got it, thank you very much. The only problem was that I did this without having another job to go to. So this can be seen in one of two ways, either as being a reckless and foolhardy thing to do, or as a way of stepping out in faith. Now, I'm honestly not sure which one it was. I'm neither up for taking big risks usually, nor very good at trusting in God. But God has been very gracious in providing for me in the time since. I've been told that I seem more at ease and less stressed since leaving this DIY giant, which is all the more surprising given what I've fallen into since then. Teaching.
Wow.
Ooh. So, in my search for a new job, I applied for all manner of things, including, would you believe, becoming an alpaca walker. I wasn't really getting anywhere, but in the end, I managed to get a job as a learning support assistant at a secondary school in Fareham. That was great fun, and it tided me over until the summer holidays. Whilst I was working there, I submitted a rather last-minute application to do teacher training. To my surprise, my application got accepted, and so since the start of the new school year in September, I found myself training to teach at another secondary school in Fareham. It's hard work, even though I know what I'm doing at the moment is the absolute tip of the iceberg compared to a qualified teacher's workload. I am certainly not a natural at teaching, but I'm enjoying it. And the way I see it is I can't really go a lot worse than my amateurish attempts to order in laminate flooring from the Far East to fulfill demand across 300 DIY stores the length and breadth of the UK and Ireland. So having ended up in a school environment, I found myself slightly unexpectedly with 6 weeks off in the, off of work in the summer. So although this seemed like quite a long time, and I had plenty to keep me occupied, I decided to volunteer for 2 weeks at a Scripture Union holiday club slash beach mission at Minas Bay in Kent. Now, this took me well out of my comfort zone. I'm not great at talking to people I don't know, or indeed people I do know, and I'm certainly not a natural at evangelizing. When I got there, I really did feel like a fish out of water, surrounded by team members who are mostly 10-plus years younger than me and who seemed to have an endless supply of energy and a hugely inspiring desire to serve Jesus. Daunting though this was, I did find my way eventually, and the feedback was that I was coming out of my shell more by the second week. By this, I think people mean I was getting progressively weirder, but never mind. So, my highlight was the three times I got to dress up as a giant mouse, which meant for the first time in my life, I got to experience the joy of wearing tights. My lowlight, however, was being asked to perform dance routines that I was unfamiliar with, I should say, whilst dressed as said mouse. The head was very heavy and sweaty, so it wasn't great. But the main thing, though, was that the mission did bring people to Christ, and it was a privilege to be a tiny part of that. On top of this, the Friends Interfaith group that Cheryl and I have been involved with has morphed into an alpha course and latterly a small group. Cheryl and I have been tasked with leading the small group, which is slightly daunting given that neither of us have ever led anything like this before. And it's fair to say that we're still very much finding our feet currently. But again, it shows the importance of trusting in God's provision. If I'm leading the small group, we're in trouble. I'm sorry to say it, but if Cheryl's leading the small group, we're in trouble, although probably slightly less. If God's leading the small group, though, I'm sure things will work out fine. So as I bring my self-centered waffle to an end, I'll bring us back to who I should really have been talking about all along. God. God is incredibly gracious and faithful. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9 states, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Now this year I've stepped out in faith more than I have in the past. And though I have made countless mistakes on the way, God has still provided. As East Sea Baptist Church enters a time of discerning God's vision for the future of this church, I'm reassured that he is gracious, he is faithful, and that we can dream big knowing that he's in control.
Ahoy. So it feels as though my year has been no less busy than John's, but full of completely different demands and commitments. I do sometimes wonder how we fit it all in. I think we spend about 1 hour a week in each other's company. So that concludes tonight's talk on key to a successful marriage. And seriously though, like John, I really wanted to step out and grow this year. So at the end of 2017, I thought I would buy myself this daily planner. On the front, it has a quote from Paul's letter to the Philippians, "I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." Now, I annotated the word strength with the words physical and spiritual, and I turned the book into my journal of progress. This year has all been about my physical and spiritual growth and development. This diary was my way of making sure that my New Year's resolution lasted longer than January. Now, anyone who knows me even moderately well or is friends with me on Facebook will see what a fitness fanatic I have become these last few months. So much so that I, like John, felt compelled to turn to teaching, and I am currently training at Eastleigh College to become a fitness instructor. It's a big commitment, but apart from my passion to get fitter in myself, I want to share this knowledge with other people and help and encourage them on their own personal journeys to a healthier lifestyle. I'm still wondering how God may use this new skill set, but I'm sure he has no shortage of ideas. But getting physically fitter is quite a common New Year's resolution. You mark my words, in a couple of months' time, there'll be a big push on it again as people contemplate whether eating their own body weight on Christmas Day was really such a good idea. But I want to talk to you actually about the other half of my journey this year, my spiritual growth. I decided that this year I would keep reading various Christian books and commentaries so that I could deepen my knowledge and hopefully my faith too. But it was in February that I suddenly found that God was expecting me to look up from the various books and actually take action. For you can be the most well-read Christian in the world, you can know the Bible inside out and quote from scripture, but if you never put what you learn into practice, then really, to quote our current morning theme, what's the point? I want to read a really vital passage from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. You may well have heard it before, but it is one I don't think can be repeated enough. It's his famous address about what love is. "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails." Sounds so nice in theory, doesn't it? But loving is hard, and it demands a lot of time, commitment, and patience. So what happened to me in February? Well, I was walking home from the gym one Saturday morning and decided, for whatever reason, to take a different route home. I ran into Neil from our church family, and we got chatting. Suddenly, out of nowhere, we were pretty much ambushed without warning by a woman who was clearly very drunk. She was in a very bad way, and we talked to her to calm her down, as she was battling a lot of demons that day. Her name was Grace. Lost for ideas as to what to do, I brought her here to Wells Place in case I ran into someone who could help. But as it was, there was little I could offer her then and there. After chatting a while, we parted company, but we exchanged phone numbers, and I prayed for her when I got home. I don't really remember what followed, but I shared my unusual experience with our Friends Interfaith small group, and we prayed about it. I felt compelled to follow up with her, and we had many a conversation over the phone together. And I mean many. They were very challenging. It is hard to talk to someone when they are very drunk, and when you don't feel like it, and when the timing is bad. I was beginning to understand what a huge cost true love is. Because love, as the media would sell it to you, is a red, fluffy, warm, fuzzy emotion that you share with those closest to you. But agape, the sacrificial, unrequited love, is painful and it is difficult. I didn't always take her calls. I sometimes made excuses so that I could hang up. I failed her time and time again, but somehow God kept our newfound friendship strong. We met up again a few weeks later, and at the end of our conversation, when she mused that she thought someone was looking out for her, I told her that I thought that someone was God, and I invited her to come here. To my amazement, she agreed, and she first came here on Easter Sunday and was stunned by how normal we all are. No comment. So, now I know that a number of you may well have met Grace now, maybe spoken to her, or at least know her by sight, but her journey has been a long one, and it's still ongoing. She's had her highs and her lows with her battle against alcohol, but she's in rehab now, doing well. She now even cycles to the gym, so she is a woman after my own heart. Grace thanked me for what I did on that day in February, but I maintain that it was God who put me there and that he had a plan all along. Grace has shared countless examples with me of when she felt loved and supported by God. I was stunned at how clearly he was working in her life. But what Grace never fully appreciated was how much God has blessed me through our relationship. There was a time when I was feeling a bit distant from God one afternoon. I think we all know that feeling. And I prayed feebly something along the lines of, "Remind me that you're still there." A minute later, my phone rang. It was Grace. She didn't have anything she needed to say on this occasion, but just wanted to tell me how God had been at work in her life that day. That call was exactly what I needed to hear, and yet she had no idea about it. So remember this, no matter who you encounter in life, God loves them immeasurably more than they love themselves, and immeasurably more than their closest friends and their family love them. We are all called to love like Jesus, and boy, is it hard, but it's also tremendously rewarding. As you go through life, ask, what can I do to make this person's life that little bit easier? How can I bring a bit more of God's joy to this situation? Small gestures add up to a Christ-like character that will take an eternity to perfect. But never underestimate what seeds God can grow if you are just willing to water them. Thank you for listening.